Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. You have reached the man cave here in Redan, Georgia. Going to have a little bit of sports talk tonight. Want to thank you for tuning in, logging in, whether you're listening now, live, or if you're listening later on an archived version. Want to thank you for taking the time to listen to what I got to say. For those of you who have been following me on Facebook, you do understand that I sent out a notice earlier stating that the program would be changed a little bit tonight. We were going to have my man Raymond Kippy Williams on to talk a little bit about his culinary expertise in tailgating and grilling and barbecuing. He was going to give us a good recipe on Korean ribs and Hawaiian potato salad. He, much like myself, brother that lives on the mainland now but spent many years living in the islands of Hawaii, we have a devout love for the island. We miss it. We cherish it, we respect it, and we definitely do love the food. He was going to go over a few recipes, but due to some unforeseen situations, wasn't able to make it tonight. We will try to have him on again at a later date. But, folks, we've got plenty to talk about. If you want to call in, you can call in at 347-945-7975. If you're just riding down the road and you want to join in the conversation, you can also pull us up on blogtalkradio.com/MotormouthMosley and join us in our chat room. I can respond both ways, but for now, we're just going to talk a little bit about what's been going on the last week. Had another great week of NFL football action, but what seemed to take all the headlines was the firing of Coach Lane Kiffin at the University of Southern California after going 4-7 in his last 11 games. They decided that he had to go. Some people believe that he never should have gotten the job in the first place. He never did anything to actually warrant it. He's lived off of his father's name, who is now the defense coordinator with the Dallas Cowboys. He's been in the league for 50-something years, seems like. But Lane has definitely lived off his last name and gotten some ins to some positions that actually seems to boggle my mind a little bit in how he was able to get them. I mean, he was basically a little lowly backup quarterback at Fresno State when he graduated and had some problems there. He did some assistant coaching, bounced around a little bit. For some odd reason, got hired by University of Tennessee, which didn't last very long, was a kind of embarrassing end of that situation. He bolted for USC. He had also had a position with the Oakland Raiders as the head football coach under Al Davis, who was the owner at the time. Another ugly breakup, noted all over sportsdom, but I don't understand how this guy keeps coming up smelling like a rose, but I guess the story has it that he wasn't even allowed to return to the facilities with the team after Saturday night's embarrassing 62-41 loss to Arizona State, that the vehicle that they were in was pulled over, stopped literally, and he asked to deboard the vehicle and was basically fired in the parking lot. Thought that was maybe not the classiest way to remove your coach, but then he had done some things over the years that didn't really ingratiate himself with the media nor with the powers that be at USC. So I'm sure that was no real love lost when they came to the conclusion that he had to go. And the story has it that basically midway through the third quarter of the Arizona State game, that athletic director Pat Hayden, a longtime USC associate, J.K. McKay and a few other powers that be huddled together and made the decision midway through the third quarter of the game that Kiffin's days were done. Now, like him or hate him, which it's really hard to like the guy because he doesn't make it easy. He's one of the little brash, snobbish, kind of spoiled, elitist, silver spoon type spoiled brats that that's the kind of persona that he projects. So it's kind of hard to like the guy. But he actually went into this position at USC in probably not the best situation. USC immediately got hit with sanctions from the NCAA for some things that happened under Pete Carroll's watch with Reggie Bush getting some inappropriate gifts. And you know, they were the school was punished by not being allowed to play in bowl games, which is a deterrent for some high school recruits, so it had to hurt recruiting. And they also were only allowed, they were sanctioned 30 scholarships over, I believe, 3 years. And that, too, has to hurt with the quality of talent that you're able to bring in and keep and build a firm foundation of a great program. So his hands were virtually tied. He was you know, playing behind the eight ball. It wasn't his best possible avenue to take over as head coach, but it was a glamour position, absolutely. One of the most highly touted coaching positions in the country, but it came to an end this week abruptly, much to the thrill of a lot of USC fans. USC, University of Southern California, is one of those programs that has one of the great traditions in college football. They have more Heisman Trophy winners than any other school. They've won many national championships, so very prestigious school. And for them to struggle the way they have and become a non-factor over the last couple of years doesn't sit well with the boosters in the USC family nor with the administration. Now, the question is, you fire a guy midway through the season, you know, what is your next step? Do you promote from within on that staff? Was there anybody there that you think would probably be a viable option as a new head coach? Or do you go outside of the program and look for someone to bring in and bring back the glory days of old at USC? Was listening a little bit on TV today, and I was checking out a couple of the commentators who were talking about who they thought. And there were a couple of names that I considered, but I also wanted to throw in another name or two and then have a little bit of a discussion on that. And the first name on the list as a possible replacement for Lane Kiffin at USC is Coach Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M. He was formerly at the University of Houston. I believe he's a Texas native, but he's running a very dynamic, a very upstage, very prominent offense, which will definitely get quality athletes in the program. And he is one of the young, hot names in the coaching ranks, and I think he should be considered as a possible replacement for Lane Kiffin. Another name that is well familiar with the USC family and has been mentioned on several occasions when the when the job has had openings is Coach Jack Del Rio, formerly head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Now he's a coordinator with the Denver Broncos, but he's a USC alum. He's got NFL experience. So I think he would be a very good candidate for a possible consideration for the job. The name that was thrown out that I'm not so sure that I think it was a great call is Chris Peterson at Boise State. He did some great things at Boise over the last few years, so they definitely are a program that he could use a step up, and it probably warrants it. Whether or not USC is the type of program where he would fit, I'll leave that up to debate. And another not USC graduate, but he went to Cal, who I think would be a viable option as the new head coach at University of Southern California is Coach Ron Rivera at Cal. He went to Cal, but he's the head coach right now, Carolina Panthers, and they have struggled this year. They did beat the Giants last week, but they have struggled this year, and he's definitely on the hot seat. So if he gets let go, I think with his California roots, his NFL experience, then he would be a candidate. And trust people, don't be shocked when it comes out that Nick Saban is getting talked to, because there's not a coaching position in this country that especially that would be seen as either a lateral move or an upgrade to the Alabama coaching position that he won't be considered for. So, yes, I do believe that somewhere along the lines, Nick Saban's name will be mentioned. I don't think it's a viable option. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. But don't be shocked when you hear his name. Now, the next name that I'm going to throw at you people will be a name that will not be considered as the next head coach at the University of Southern California. And that is former USC assistant, former NFL assistant, former candidate for numerous college head coaching positions, finally got his first gig a couple of years ago at the University of Hawaii, but guarantee you that Norm Chow will not be considered as the next head coach at the University of Southern California. He has struggled at the University of Hawaii. He has appeared to be somewhat lost at times. So I definitely don't foresee his name being mentioned as a possible candidate. Again, folks, you're listening to the Motor Mouth Mosley Radio Show. If you're interested in calling in, you can call us at 347-945-7975. Going to move the show a little bit in another direction real quick. Going to talk a little NFL action. After going 12-4 two consecutive weeks and then struggling 1 week at 9-7, I'm ready for another week of upsets. I've got a lot of them on my books this week. It's easy to pick the guys that you think are going to win because they're you know that they're better. But I got a couple of picks this week that may go a little bit against the norm, but here they go. As I said, I'm sitting right now at going 44-19 so far this season, which is almost 70%. Not bad for an amateur guy. Looks like I might have Coach Howard on the line. Let me see who this is. Welcome, caller. Is this Coach Howard?
Yes. Aloha. Motor Mouth Mosley. Coach Howard.
How is it, brother? You called in right before I got ready to do my NFL picks. Hopefully you won't yell at me like I had last week with Mini Plate and Lamar Young because I didn't pick the Denver Broncos to beat the Oakland Raiders, which they did, and I will go on live and say that, yes, I picked that wrong, but oh well. How goes it with you, Coach Howard?
Well, it goes great. Unfortunately, our two teams had head-to-head matchups this past weekend, and the Chargers ended up on the top side of that.
So wait a minute. Are you calling to gloat? Are you calling to gloat?
No, I'm not.
I'll be John Brown, who I played golf with last Sunday on the golf course. I actually played golf with a guy named John Brown. But I'll be John Brown that you didn't call up to gloat. I'm not mad at you. It was a great game. Well, it really wasn't a great game, but it was a great win. I congratulate your Bolts for pulling it out. And it was part of them pulling it out and part of the Cowboys giving it away. But in either case, the guys with the lightning bolts on the helmet get to walk away with the victory. So I do congratulate you. Good win.
Thank you. And, you know, I don't know if it's a congratulations as much as just astonished that the Chargers didn't find a way to lose it in the fourth quarter as they did in the previous games. There's just something that's just not clicking with them. They get through the first two quarters, maybe through the third quarter, and for some reason fall apart in the fourth. So we'll see if that keeps up, if that keeps going through it throughout the season or if they can fix that.
Well, they definitely were reflective of the Dallas Cowboys. They find a way to be in games, lose games, go ahead in games and then fall back and give them away, or be behind big and then rally and then fall short. So they both have have perfected the art of building us up as fans and then letting us down. I call it in Dallas the Romo coaster, but it's been tough. But I do want to get to my picks real quick. And I'll take any comments that you might have on some of these games. I'm picking San Francisco over St. Louis, Baltimore Ravens. Well, excuse me, wrong list. I'm picking on Thursday night the Buffalo Bills to lose to the Cleveland Browns. The Browns kind of shocked me this past weekend by pulling one out. They replaced the quarterback and played a very fundamentally sound game, a very basic game. I was actually impressed. I've got Cincinnati upsetting the New England Patriots at home. I've got the Lions going into Green Bay and getting knocked off. I've got the Packers winning that one. I've got the Seahawks losing to the Colts in Indianapolis. So I've got a lot of upsets. And I'm going to give a shout-out to Leon Thompson over in Roswell, Georgia, who's a big-time Colts fan. I'm calling your team out this week, Leon. They better win. Got the Baltimore Ravens knocking off the Miami Dolphins. I've got the Saints knocking off the Bears. In a battle of ugly teams, I've got the Giants beating the Philadelphia Eagles. Excuse me, the Philadelphia Eagles, because there's no D. I've got the Kansas City Chiefs knocking off the Tennessee Titans. Jaguars will lose to St. Louis. Panthers will lose to Arizona. And, yes, I am picking my Dallas Cowboys to upset the unbeaten Denver Broncos on the one of only two late games being played Sunday, the 4 o'clock games. There's one at 4:05 and this one's at 4:25. And on the Sunday night game, I've got the Texans going into San Francisco and knocking off the Niners. Niners have been struggling this year. They're not playing the quality ball that they have. I think they're relying way too much on the pass, and they need to get back to giving Frank Gore the ball and letting him run over people. So I've got Tennessee, unless the Niners actually change their game plan. I got the Tennessee Titans, the Houston Texans beating the Niners. Let's see. Sunday night football actually has two games this week. You've got the Texans and the Niners playing at about 8 o'clock, and then you've got the Chargers and the Raiders playing at an 11:35 kickoff Eastern time. So that game's going to probably end about 3 o'clock in the morning. So someone will have to call me the next day and tell me who won, because there's no way I'm staying up for that, although I did stay up till 3 o'clock watching the UH game last Saturday. And then finally, Monday Night Football, you've got the Jets coming into town against the Atlanta Falcons. That's two premium games in a row for the Atlanta Falcons. I do expect them to knock off the Jets this week. So it's almost a full slate of games. I think there's 14 matchups this week. I'm sitting pretty at almost 70%. I got a couple of upsets in the mix. I got a couple of undefeated teams getting knocked off. I think it'll happen. So what say you, Coach Howard? How do you feel about my picks? Or do you have something? Or do you agree with them 100% that, of course, I am a savant. I am a guru. I know what I'm doing. And we all know that that's just not the case.
I love your insight. I don't know if the 49ers are going to lose to the Texans. I think the Texans are struggling at the QB position. Are they playing the Texans at home, the 49ers?
Here in the yeah, according to – I do believe that game is in San Francisco.
Okay, because I know the Raiders and Chargers game got pushed back because of the Major League playoff game or something that's happening.
Ah, that's why it got moved back. That would make
yeah.
sense, because I was wondering why you had a late game and then a late game. But that would make sense that the Oakland Athletics have made the playoffs. I'm sure with them playing on the same field, which I think it's only two teams in the NFL that are sharing parks with baseball teams, and I believe they're both in the Bay Area.
Well, the 49ers have their own 49ers have their own. They play in Candlestick right now, and the Giants have play in AT&T Park. They have a brand new park, which is really nice.
That's right. The Giants did get into their own park. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So the Raiders are still sharing a park with the A's. What they should have done was shared their stadium with the new 49ers stadium coming up, like I think how the Giants and the Jets are doing it. But that's a whole other story. The Cowboys-Broncos game, I think that's going to be very interesting. The fact that you're picking the Cowboys, and I wouldn't have guessed that. But
we all know that I'm picking with my heart and not my head on that one. I mean, come on. What kind of Cowboys fan, and you've known me for over 30 years, so you know what kind of Cowboys fan I am. And even though I know the numbers, I see the stats, I've watched my team play, I've seen that team play, I know who is the better team or who is playing better ball, at least right now, but I wouldn't be a Cowboys fan if I don't pick them every single week. That's just the kind of fan I am. I'm not putting any money on it. Hey, by the way, Coach Howard, are you headed to the UH game next week?
No, actually, I'm not going to. I've been seeing a lot of posts on Facebook with our former teammates planning a trip to Vegas. That's right, Vegas?
UNLV versus the University of Hawaii on Saturday night. And I went to the matchup a couple of years ago, and it was an absolute blast, or as Don Cornelius of Soul Train would say, it was a stone-cold blast. Seeing some old faces hanging out, ran into some old coaches. Yeah, it was a great event a couple of years ago.
You've been watching the Rainbow Warriors play. I haven't been following them except on tracking feeds and some radio, but I know their first game starter, Graham, is out. How are the backup guys looking at QB?
Well, Graham was out hurt, and yes, I did watch the game online, and Graham was out hurt, and they started this kid, I believe his name was Ikaika Woodley or Woolsey. They started him at quarterback in the first half against Fresno State, and they were getting smacked around. It was absolutely it was ugly. And I literally expected it to be one of those Baylor 70 to 10 final scores. But they came out at halftime and they benched this kid Woolsey. They benched him and they brought in Schrader. I'm not sure how they pronounce it. And left-handed kid, definitely looks unorthodox when he throws. Not quite Tebow-esque, but definitely not Rafael Cherry-esque either. And the kid was on fire. I think UH was down like 38-3 at the halftime or something crazy. And he literally brought them back to within a play of winning that game. The defense stepped up in the second half, and the defense, for the most part this season, has played relatively well. They've gotten worn down because they've been on the field so much because the offense has just been inept all year long. And this kid comes in, Schroeder kid, and he comes in and he throws, I believe, 3 touchdowns in the second half, ignites the team. They look fantastic. And then I just read earlier that Norm Chow has decided that he's not going to start this week. That he's starting somebody else. So
that's the kid that was the starter last year, I think.
He was the kid who
from Kentucky or where did he come from? Duke or someplace?
Yeah, he definitely came from somewhere back this way, and might have even been Ohio State. He might have been a backup at Ohio State. I can't remember, but he. Yeah, he struggled last year. He got beat up a lot last year. But with that line they had last year, anybody would have gotten beaten up. And I guess he had been relegated to third-string quarterback. I know that a lot of the local fans had been calling for the Higgins kid to step up because he had such an illustrious career at St. Louis. And I don't even know where this Woodsy kid came from because I got to the game late. But he didn't look like a Division I quarterback at all. At least, I mean, I hope he evolves into one, but he didn't look very good. And they brought in this kid Schroeder, Schrader, and he looks great. He looks great. I kind of feel bad for the kid because he comes out and lights it up, and then all of a sudden he's relegated back to the bench, you know, after another week. So, as I said, Norm Chow is the head coach at the University of Hawaii. He will not be considered for the USC job. They got a little bit more sense than Hawaii did. But I'm hoping that Hawaii plays relatively well against UNLV this time, because in 2011, I don't know if they missed the flight. I don't know if they was at Cheetahs too late, but they did not play well 2 years ago. So we'll see what happens on Saturday night. Was hoping to run into people like you at the game, but thanks to a couple of classmates, they are getting me out there for our 50th birthday celebration, which is the same weekend. So I'm not sure how much of the game I'll actually go see. I may go see some of the game and then leave. Not exactly sure what I'm going to do, but I was hoping to run into Darren Pacheco, too, because he's got Moanalua's having their 50th birthday celebration, but he's actually going up to Vegas tonight for over 50 base a softball tournament. So I wanted to see him. But, yeah, folks, you're listening to two guys, two friends, talking sports, talking about Hawaii on the Motomoff Mosley Radio Show. You can call in. If you want to join in the chat, it's open for anybody. We're not discounting anybody, but somebody's logged on. I'm not sure who it is. I want to say hi to my log. Oh, that is you logged on. Oh, okay. And I do apologize to Krista for not picking her Seahawks this week, so she can yell at me and be mad at me this week. But I'm calling for an upset. This is my upset week.
Upset week. Well, I'm sure she posts something on your wall when the Seahawks win.
Yes, I'm sure I will hear from her later. Or if I am right, I will say that they that I jinxed them. So either way, it won't be pretty. But I do want to touch a little bit on the baseball. It looks like we do have a final tonight on the National League Wild Card. It looks like the Pittsburgh Pirates won over the Cincinnati Reds 66-2. And we'll be going into the playoffs. So I think that's the first time in a few years that the Pirates are back where they belong, is in the playoffs. I saw an interesting stat with the American League playoffs. I did not realize that the Boston Red Sox went from 69-93 last year to 97-65 this year. And in all honesty, there really wasn't a whole lot of roster change. There was a head coach change. John Farrell is now the head coach. But it was kind of a shock that, in fact, Terry Francona, the former head coach who was cast out, his team's in the playoffs too with Cleveland. So it should be, at least Cleveland's playing in the wild card game tomorrow against the Tampa Bay Rays. It's baseball is just going to be – this is the only time for me personally to really enjoy baseball. Too many regular season games, at least now the games actually carry some weight. But I saw some folks – I guess hockey started up tonight. But who cares about hockey? It ranks right up there with soccer. I call it soccer on ice. And, of course, we've got some already early talk about the NBA starting up. But if it's not football, literally, if it's not football season, I'm just waiting for football season. So it's all about football. I'll be back on the air Thursday night. We'll probably have a little bit of talk about sports, but it will be the premiere of the show Scandal. So I'm sure they'll have a few folks that might want to call in and comment. If not, we can always talk sports. There's never a bad time to talk football. But I wish you were going to be there this weekend. I was hoping that to get to see you, but I understand. And
yeah, me too. Definitely going to miss some of you guys.
Yeah, you'll be missed. It'll be fun. We'll have our rainbow brotherhood there in full effect. But again, folks, you've been listening to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. I had a great conversation with Coach Howard, called in, talked a little football, gave me a little razzing for the spanking that his boys, the San Diego Chargers, gave my Cowboys over the weekend. But we live to fight another day. Wish your team the best of luck this week, Coach Howard. And I hope all is well. You take care of yourself. Thank you for listening in, callers. Whether you're listening in live or delayed on the archived episode, just want to say thank you for spending time in the Motormouth Mosley Man Cave. Have a great week. Talk to you on Thursday. Aloha.